Just as the kids dismiss, just stay in the presence of the Lord. The Spirit is definitely here. Just stay in that presence. And is that the cry of your heart this morning, that you want more? Do you want more of God? Do you desire His presence in your lives in a deep way? I'm constantly amazed at just the depth of the riches and the knowledge of God that He tells us in His Word. It's just, every time you open it, I don't know if you get excited about the power and the what is available to us. God's Word is just endless, full of, it's an endless treasure. And do you hunger for that? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You just pray with me this morning. Father, we thank You, God, for Your presence here this morning. Oh God, we thank You for what a good God You are. Oh God, that even in our sinfulness, oh God, in our wretchedness, God, even when we cursed You, You loved us. God, You came, You gave Your life, You shed Your blood, that we could have hope, that we could have life. Oh God, You opened up all the heavens to us, available to us. Full access to the throne of heaven through the blood of Jesus. And we thank You this morning. Oh God, we're humbled. We're humbled, Lord, by who You are. God, we invite You this morning. Father, I ask that I would be that empty vessel this morning, filled up by Your Spirit, emptied of myself, but filled up by Your power and Your presence. Oh God, we need You, God, to reveal Your Word to us. Oh God, to change us, change our hearts. God, help us to set aside distractions that we came in with this morning. Oh God, to key in, to look to the God of heaven who chooses to meet with us here in this place. Oh God, if just for a few minutes we would get a taste of that and see that the living God has spoken to us through His Word. And so, Lord, we ask that You speak to us. Speak to our hearts. God, speak to our brokenness. Speak to our pride this morning. Come and change us as only You can. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in this story of Joshua this morning. If you turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. We've been taking a look at the life of this great man of God. And Pastor Nick and Pastor John have brought us to this point. We crossed the Jordan. We saw the miracle last week of the crossing of the Jordan River. The hand of God powerfully upon His people who he has called. We're going to jump around a little bit this morning. Our main text is going to be in Joshua. And there's just so much, even as I was praying, there's so much in just one verse, in just one passage of God's Word. It's really hard to, I was talking to Pastor Nick last week about it, and it's hard to cover two chapters in one message. But we're going to do our best to see what God has for us. So we see in the first couple of verses of chapter 5 of Joshua, it says, "And as soon as the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel." And so in this introduction of this chapter, we just see people see God's hand in their life. And to the point that they shrink back. All the people of the land are struck by fear of this mighty God because of the Israelites, because of what He did. And that's, you know, that's a real mark on these people. You know, is that, we talked about this, I think last time I preached in some measure, but do people see the hand of God in your life? Do they say, man, that person's life is marked by the power and the presence of God? And so here we have the picture that the Israelites are camped out in the land of Gilgal, and they just came through the Jordan. They're all hyped up. They're amped up. Wow, look what God did. And God speaks to them, because this is a God who speaks. The title of my message this morning is "The God Who Goes Ahead." And we saw how God went ahead of the Israelites through the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant. And that's really what we're going to really focus on, is just how God goes before us in all things. And he goes to every area of our life, if we would allow him to. And he moves ahead. And that's our hope. Because we know that this God is before us. And he's behind us. And he's all around us. And so we have Joshua in the land. And one of the first things he's asked to do by the Lord is to circumcise the people. And this is, again, there's so much and everything. We're going to kind of just skim through this circumcision. But that was a covenant that God made with Abraham. To circumcise the people of Israel. And it had multiple purposes. One of them was just, it was a symbolic of the covenant God had made with Abraham. That I will be your God and I will lead you to the promised land. And interesting in this, in the covenant, in the Hebrew, we think of a covenant, maybe marriage covenant, and it's between two people and both people have to keep their sides. God's covenant is one-sided in the Old Testament. God saying, I promise you, I will keep my covenant. You're going to break it. You might break it. There'll be consequences to it. But I am a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And so this, as we see, all the old men died in the wilderness. This is the new breed of God said, the young people will go into the promised land. And I'm going to remake my covenant. I'm going to remind you, Joshua, and all the Israelites, that I am still keeping that promise. And it was one of the first thing that God had Joshua do was to renew the covenant. And here we have, and Joshua does, he follows through, circumcises the people, must have been pretty rough for those older men especially, but they got through it, and it took some time to heal. But I want to take a look, if you guys go with me to verse 6 for a minute, of why we're even in this spot. Why are the Israelites in this position that it's only the next generation that made it through? And you might know the story, but I think it's very important to see how this works. So Joshua chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nations, the men of war, came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey." And so we have this position. Why is it that everyone was died out? Because of the rebellion. If you go with me to the book of Numbers, We need to take a look at this this morning, and it's a good reminder for ourselves. Here we had the God of Israel brings him up out of Egypt. We know all the miracles he did for them, and yet there was that spirit in them. If you go to Numbers chapter 13, we're going to skim through this chapters, but we need to have some background to see where we are now with the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I'm going to jump around verse 1 to 3. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So Moses sent from them in the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the people of Israel." And so we know the story. Moses sends out spies into the land to see if it's a land worth taking. Is the promised land all that it lived up to be? Can we do it? Can we take the land? Sends the spies. They come back. There was 12 spies. They come back and report. We're going to jump to that report, verse 27. "And they told him," they told Moses, "we came to the land to which you sent us." Again, this is the land promised, the covenant land that God had given to Abraham. "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." If you remember the story, they came back. The grapes were so large that they had to carry them on two men's shoulders. Right? They said, we made it to the land. It is indeed flowing with milk and honey. As if they were surprised, because isn't that what God said? How often we do it? God, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. We couldn't believe it. It was flowing with milk and honey. Right? And how often does God speak to us, right? And he speaks to us, he tells us something, and then we get surprised that it really, wow, God was right. He really did know what he was talking about. And we all laugh because it's so true, right? Isn't that us? How, you know, and that's a picture. We are the Israelites. You know, we read through the scriptures and we're like, oh, those Israelites, they were so rebellious. Oh man, look how often they disobeyed God. And God's like, that's you. We are Israel, right? That's a whole other thing for another day. But here we have this picture, right? And they're excited, kind of. It is, in fact, what you said it was. And maybe there's a situation in your life where you're like, man, God's leading me into a new job, a new position, a new season in life, and it looks really promising and very exciting. And you're like, this is good. However, but the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we have seen the descendants of Anak there, who were kind of like giants of the day. And so they see the promised land, but then they get more focused on the obstacle. And we're going to take a look at Joshua. I mean, obviously, the walls of Jericho were a huge obstacle. You had the people came into this promised land, their foot on the promised land, and the first thing they see are the walls of Jericho. And so they're like, we're here. But the obstacle was there. And we're going to see the difference between the old Israel and the new Israel, in a sense, if I can put it that way. These men, the spies went in, they saw it. And they said, however, well, I don't know if we can do it. The obstacle is too big. And how often we get caught on the obstacle. How often we allow what we can't do limit us from what God can do. And we go on in the story here in Numbers. I could, suppose we've peeked on Joshua, I could do the whole thing in Numbers here. Jump to chapter 30 with me, verse 30. Numbers. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. There's this young man, these two young men, they said, we could do it. Look what God has done. Don't you remember? Let me remind you all that we could do this. Verse 31. And then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And so you have this, you have the critic, you have the doubter, you have the one looking at the obstacle, and this young man, Caleb, is like, no, man, let's go. Not in his foolish zeal, but because he had a picture of who God was. And we're going to see that in a second. Go over to chapter 14 with me. So now the battle begins. Can we do it or can't we do it? This is God's promised land. God said, I am giving you this land. It's for you to take. But what watch what happens when we get our emotions and our doubts and our distractions mixed in. Chapter 14, verse 3. And this is the people speaking. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Wait, slavery. Yeah, let's go back to slavery. They were literally on the cusp of the promised land. It wasn't really far away. And because they saw the obstacle, not the God who could take down the obstacle, they were willing to travel all the way back and become slaves. What is wrong with it? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, right? What, man, we're messed up. We really are. And that's us. That's us so often. That we would say, God, I want what you have for me, but I don't know, I just can't get there. Verse 4. And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. They really wanted to go back to Egypt. It wasn't even just an idea. They really wanted to go back. And this breaks the heart of Moses and Caleb and Joshua. Verse 6, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy on is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So these young men, they said, God is with us. This is our God. Nothing is impossible with it. Nothing in your life is impossible for God. No obstacle, no fear, no doubt. God can do, he's still the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. This is our God. And Joshua and Caleb are reminding them, if God be for us, who can stand against us? Nobody. Let's go take the land. But it's not the time. And God's a little upset. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me? In spite of all the signs that I have done among them." How long? I mean, does God say that, ever say that about us? Man, that person, they've known me for so long. They've followed me for so long, and yet they doubt. I'm just going to do a little, we'll get a little Pentecostal for a minute. But if you've seen the faithfulness of God in your life, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you've seen God work miracles in and around your life, can I get an amen? I mean, that's a little weak. If God has been good to you, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we can testify to the goodness of God in our lives. And yet, we come across these little challenges, and sometimes they're little, sometimes they're large, and we continue to doubt. Right? You think of the disciples. And God says, "Are you still so dull? Do you still not get it? Do you still not understand?" And yet, the grace of God constantly comes in like a flood. Right? We live in that grace. Well, let's keep going because I'm going to end up just in numbers here. So, verse 22. It says, "Now none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed the voice shall see the land of I swore to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he is different, of a different spirit, and has followed me fully." So God's saying, look, they're not going to make the problem, but this guy Caleb, he's of a different spirit. That stands out to me. There was something about this kid. He trusted God for who he was. He knew, and because of that, he was going to get to go into the promised land. Do you take God at his word? Do you trust him for what he says in your life? And the end of the story, verse 42, it says, the people, they after they're addressed and God says, "You're not going to get to go in the promised land." Moses said, "You're not going to go. God's not letting you go." And they're like, "Okay, let's go. Get all the people, and we could do it now." Because they realize they're not going to get to go into the promised land. But Moses says this in verse 42. He says, "Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you." Don't do it. God was with you, but you rebelled, and so he withdrew. Don't try and make it now happen on your own strength, because it's not going to happen. And how often God asks us to do something. I just want you to go talk to that person. I want you to just tell them about me. Would you just give a little bit more? I got your bills. Just trust me. And we hold back. And then we feel maybe guilty. And we're like, oh, we could do it. And God's like, I'm not there anymore.
See, I was willing to go before you, but now I'm going to step back. And these people wanted to go before. And now, all right, we'll go. And Moses said, don't go. God's not before you anymore. He's a God who goes ahead when he sets the time and the place. But he's not ahead of you now, so don't go. So what do? They go up and they get whipped. They get defeated and they come back with their tails between their legs because God didn't go before them. Now let's get back to Joshua. And so that's the background. That's why they're in this position. And now you have Joshua, and they're already in these. This is the next generation, and they're looking at Jericho. And he does a circumcision, and then they celebrate the Passover. We're kind of going to jump through, because I really want to focus on. And then Joshua is up at Jericho, and we know the story Pastor John told us a couple weeks ago. This is this lady Rahab in the walls, and she's hanging on, man. She's waiting for the Israelites to come, because they're the hope for deliverance. She knows that God is doing great things through the Israelites. She knows that the city is going to be destructed, but God made a covenant with her. You'll be saved. You and your family will be saved. And I'm going to touch on this, just spread out that scarlet rope. Which, and my wife, a friend of my wife's, had shared this with her a while ago. And that rope that Rahab hung out, it's called a tikvah in Hebrew. And it means hope. That's what that word means. And so this rope represented hope for this lady. And it's not ironic that it was scarlet, like the blood of Jesus, who gives us hope. And so the setup is there. The Israelites are there. Jericho is there. The obstacle, will they be like the past? Will they do the same thing? Will they make the same mistake? It's too big. Those 30-foot high walls, 20-foot thick at point, soldiers, I don't know. I don't know if we can do it. But Caleb, Joshua, they were of a different spirit. They had just walked through. And what was it that brought them through the Jordan? What went before them first? The Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God. Does the presence of God go before you? In your life, do you allow the Spirit of God to go before you? When you have a decision to make, do you ask the Spirit of God to go before you in that decision? So often we make the decision and we go back, oh, I should have prayed about that. Been there. Not a fun place to be. But God is willing to go before us. He's the God that goes ahead of us. He paves the way. It's not always an easy way. Jericho wasn't an easy way, but it was God's way. And so he has this encounter, and Pastor John might be disappointed with this because this isn't the focus of my message this morning, but he has this encounter with an angel of the Lord's army, face to face, similar to Moses in the burning bush, and speaks to him, and Joshua falls to the face. And he goes on and he says, this is how you're going to take Jericho. This is the plan you're going to do. And you know the story, march around it, you know, 7 days, the seventh day, march around it 7 times. And Joshua could have been like, that's a kind of a crazy plan. How many times we've gotten things from God and it's kind of been like, you sure? Like that, I wouldn't do it that way. Right? We say that all the time, like, I don't know if that's going to work. Because let me tell you all the reasons, God, why this isn't going to work. Because there's a hole here, and that's not, that person's not really going to listen, and we do it. We reason with God like he doesn't know what he's doing. And he just sits there and he's like, you done yet? Are you done yet? Listen, you're either going to listen to me and obey, or you're going to go your own way. Which one is it going to be? And Joshua, by God's grace, Joshua listened. And he was probably like, this is crazy. This is a crazy plan. We're not even fighting. We're just going to march around. But here's the key, and this is what I really want to hit on, and it's not going to take us too long here. Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 4. And so Joshua gets the commands from the angel of the Lord. And this is kind of the plan in a nutshell. And I want to focus on, again, the ark. Pastor Nick did a great job last week of with a picture and describing the ark. It represents the presence of God. Now I want to point out what the focal point of the mission is here. Of the mission that God gave Joshua. The way it was going to be done. I want you to see what the center of it all is. Verse 4, it says, seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpets, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every one straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, first thing he says, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. That's the third time already. Listen, the presence of God, Joshua, it needs to be the focal point of your mission here. You need to send my presence before you. Have the priests behind it, people before it, people behind it. But that's how you're going to take the land. That's how you're going to get where you need to get in your life. That's how you're going to face the sickness and the challenge. That's how you're going to make that big decision. Is the presence of God has to go before you. Verse 6, so Joshua, I just read that, I'll read it again because it's good. The son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord was forward, blowing the trumpets, here we go again, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. And the armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was, you guessed it, walking after the ark, which the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night at the camp. And we'll stop there for a minute. If you didn't get it, the ark of the Lord, the presence of God, is the focal point. And I like that last verse we read. It says, and so he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city. He didn't say, and all the priests and all the people walked around the city. He made a point to say, and God's presence went around the city. And you may have heard people doing prayer walks and things like that. There's power in that. There's a stronghold in your neighborhood, a drug house or a house that just, there's turmoil in it. Maybe it's your own house or at work. Get in a little early. Start walking around your coworker's desk. Pray over it. See what begins to happen in the spirit. Be ready for a war, not with your coworker, but in the spirit. Put God's presence, sends God's presence before you. The presence of God began to brood around the city of Jericho. And it's interesting, it was 7 days. You got, I don't know if you're into the number thing, but seven represents completion in the scriptures. And it was seven priests, and it was seven trumpets, and it was seven times around, or 7 days, and then seven times, right? There's something to that. But the key being God's presence. And it just go around one time, the presence of God. And it was, man, it was the presence of God that took those walls down. This God, this mighty God, he said, I'm taking over. I'm taking this place down. Do what I said. But Joshua obeyed, thankfully. Verse 12, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, so after the second day, and the priests, what'd they do? Took up the ark of the Lord. First thing they did, they woke up, God's presence. Let's get plugged into the Spirit. And the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them. And the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpet blew continuously. And we're going to stop there for a minute, and we're going to recap all this real fast, very simple, the presence of God. This is the God who goes before you. He's the same God. I'm every day amazed at this fact that the living God is so interested in my life that he would go before me, that he would be willing to be a part of my life. Does that still amaze you? And it seems the older I get and the more I'm in the Lord, the more amazing it gets. And if it's not amazing to you, then just spend some time with him and say, Lord, I'm so amazed anymore, but I want to be. I want more of your presence. I want more of you, God, in my life. And he's so willing to do so. And so we know the story. They do what God says. The walls of Jericho come down. They plunder the city. Rahab is saved, right? Pastor John's going to carry on next week with that. And it's great. God's presence went before them. Everything happened so miraculously once again. The people in the land continue to be in fear because of God's presence. It wasn't about the Israelites, but it was about God's presence. And I want to take us, as we come to the close, to the book of John. Because how does this look for us today? Because I don't know about you, but I don't really have an Ark of Covenant in my house. Kicking around. Can you imagine that? All the Christians walking around with Ark of Covenants everywhere they went. It'd be an interesting scene. John chapter 4. So we talk about covenant, that is the old covenant, right? But Jesus brings a new covenant. And he engrafted us who are Gentiles, the not Jews, into his kingdom. And now we have, again, we don't have the temple where God's presence dwelt, the physical temple. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. Indiana Jones is still looking for that. But what do we have available to us? John chapter 14, I'm sorry, verse 15. John 14, 15. Jesus speaking to the disciples as he's kind of making his last way. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It's a pretty good promise. But remember, God's a covenant-keeping God, and he keeps his promises. And Jesus says, those of you who know me, those of you who have accepted me, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm the God who goes ahead. No, I'm going to be the God who's in you, who dwells in you. So you always have my presence. You don't have to burn sacrifices. You don't have to put me in a box or on a box or around a box. But I'm going to live in you. I'm going to dwell in you. And guess what? I'll be your helper. I will be with you forever. You know him and he dwells with you and will be in you. What an amazing promise we have. The gift of the Holy Spirit for those of us who would humble ourselves and recognize our need for Jesus in our lives. That we're not good enough. We can never be good enough. But God in his mercy gives us Jesus, offers that hope through the scarlet blood of Christ. And then when we have that hope, we have the presence of God. And so when those obstacles, those Jerichos come before us, we can look at them and we say, I have the presence of the living God in me. And nothing it can stop me. Obviously within wisdom, through prayer, through seeking that presence. Right? But we have that available to us. And how important, how crucial it is for us to tap into that Spirit. Are you plugged into the Spirit? A real quick illustration I often use for that, and I'm just going to throw it out there because I feel like God told me to. But if you had a vacuum and we plugged it into the outlet, there's power going to that vacuum. It's a working vacuum. Plug it in. And there's power to that. But you got to click it on in order to have it work. It's useless. If you just plug it in, it's getting power to it, but you don't put it on. And so often as Christians, if we have Jesus, we have the Spirit. We have his presence in us. But so often we don't access it. We don't click it on. How does it happen? Through prayer. God, fill me with your Spirit. Pastor John's doing the Bible study on the Holy Spirit as one of the heads of the Trinity, of God, right? Do you tap in, do you turn the switch on to the Holy Spirit? The credit card you get in the mail that says, call this number to activate it. You can take that card and put it in your wallet. If you go to use it, it's not going to work unless you call that number to activate it. You possess it, you have it, but it has no power to do anything unless you activate it. Go to the book of Acts with me, please. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, and while staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And there's the promise again. I will give you, I will put my Spirit in you. I just want to wrap up here with a couple thoughts before we pray. Encourage us in who our God is. You can read it, and I encourage you, you know, if you're not in the habit of reading God's Word, to get in it. Because it'll only encourage you. It'll only strengthen you. When you see and don't just read the New Testament. Read the Numbers and the Deuteronomies and the Exoduses and say, wow, look what God did. You're reminded of who this God is. And he wants to do the same miracles in our lives. He wants to move the same Jerichos in our lives if we would allow him. Obviously, the first step is knowing Christ. And if you have, there might be one person here today or a few people here who you haven't made that commitment to Jesus. You haven't surrendered your life. And until you surrender that life, that Spirit can't be your helper. You need Jesus. And then, man, you have all access. And for those of us, which is most of us, we have Christ. But do you access him? Does he go before you? as Joshua sent the ark of the presence of God before him in all situations, do you send the presence before you? And I encourage us to do that from the simplest thing in your life, the simplest decision, or things you're struggling at home. Maybe you have a child who you just can't get a handle on. Have you given it to the Lord? Have you sought the Lord on it? Have you allowed His Spirit to move ahead of you and give you wisdom? That's usually the times when the light bulb goes on. Oh, I didn't think of that. And God's like, because you didn't ask. You didn't pray. It's amazing the things that the Holy Spirit tells you. Very simple things. Everyday things available to us. Let's just pray. You just pray with me this morning. I mean, it's just an opportunity to just be quiet before the Lord. And maybe it's a time to confess. Maybe it's a time to repent. Maybe it's a time to thank Him for all the ways He's been faithful in your life. Maybe it's a time to just remind yourself or to ask for the Lord to increase your faith. Whatever it is that the Lord spoke to you, take a minute to just bring that before Him. Admit, God, I've lacked faith to trust You. But help me to walk in Your presence, to walk in Your Spirit. God, I have a big decision, Lord. It's a Jericho that's just been keeping me. Lord, I pray You give me the boldness to move forward. I've really been wanting to share my faith, but Lord, I just haven't. I've been nervous. I've been anxious. Like, fill me with Your presence that I can speak Your word boldly. God knows what it is. He's a personal God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Oh God, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for all the stories we can look back to in Your word, of how You brought Your people out by Your presence and by Your power. And God, how thankful we are that we don't have to just look to the Bible, but we can look at our own lives marked with the faithfulness and the goodness of our God. God, we come before You this morning just as Your kids, and we ask You, Daddy, to help us to walk in Your presence, to allow Your Spirit to fill us and go before us. We pray and ask that You would increase our faith. All for Your glory, Lord. All for Your goodness, that we could see miracles take place daily in our lives, and that You would be honored and blessed through it. And we love You today. We thank You. Lord, I pray You encourage us to be in Your word, to be strengthened by Your word, and to hunger and thirst for it. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.